It's time for Green Visions, a KUMD production to encourage green thinking and green actions. Green Visions is made possible by the family-owned Duluth Grill. The UMD Department of Anthropology, Sociology, and Criminology brought Professor of Landscape Architecture Rebecca Krinke to UMD last week to talk about the relationship of place and emotion. And she called her talk Emotional Cartography, which immediately got me interested because the idea of place and emotion, I just think, is a fascinating one. She joins us this morning on the phone to tell us a little bit more. Rebecca, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So you are a landscape architect, and so from that standpoint, you're approaching this idea very much from a feet firmly planted on terra firma perspective. Tell us about how you first began to decide that our strong connections to place needed to be investigated on an academic level, in an academic way.
Sure. Well, actually, landscape architects, you know, design places, and I also have an art degree. So I'm actually academic, scholarship research, but also a maker of places and objects. So kind of coming out of a different sequence of work, I thought, you know, the city street maps, you know, the maps that we're normally studying and looking at and analyzing to make decisions, I thought they're leaving out emotion. And I thought we always are experiencing all these different emotions in the city, and things are happening in various places. And are there ways that these places and certain emotions start to stack up on a map? So I had this idea, and I called it the mapping of joy and pain, which are just two, you know, sort of diametrically opposed emotions. But I figured that those two strong ones might be a good place to start. So I actually, with my students, we made a large, two-scale city map of Minneapolis and St. Paul, and it was this big, large wooden table that we took into the parks of Minneapolis and St. Paul, and we actually invited people, okay, to mark with colored pencils on the maps where they've experienced either joy or pain. And we had two different colors, gold for joy and dark gray for pain. And we invited people to map.
Anybody who has ever, A, fallen in love, B, experienced a bad breakup, has a really visceral sense of how either delightful and euphoric or knife-plunging place can be. And I bet you heard a lot of stories like that.
I sure did. And definitely, like a couple that had been married for 50 years took their gold pencils together and colored, you know, where they fell in love and where they got married. And, you know, it was beautiful to my students and I to witness, you know, people experiencing joy. One man had recently moved to St. Paul near Como Lake, and he was so happy with his new neighborhood, and he said he just wanted to color so much joy, and he told us all these stories of his neighbors, and then he went for a walk around the lake with his dog, and he came back, and he said, you know, I've been thinking about joy in my life and in the Twin Cities this whole walk, and I want to map more joy. So we were pretty excited and surprised because we honestly didn't expect to hear so many stories. We thought we would just see the coloring on the places, and instead we heard many stories of joy and actually probably a lot more of pain, because I think people maybe need to process their pain more than joy, which sort of sits calmly and beautifully or excitedly in their mind and body. I don't know. We heard a lot of stories, things that that really surprised us.
I would imagine that in many instances, there was a lot of overlap. For example, yes. a park is a lovely place to go on a date mm-hmm. to fall in love, or a restaurant mm-hmm. is a wonderful place to go and have a lovely mm-hmm. meal or to be dumped.
exactly. No,
so
exactly.
from that, I mean, I'm thinking that a hospital could maybe yes. show more pain than joy, possibly.
Yes.
Babies born, you know, and some good yes. things, possibly. But I'm thinking that there were probably some locations that became kind of like, wow, a lot of
yes.
joy and pain happened at these places. What were some of those places?
Yes, exactly. Well, you did touch on one of them, hospitals. People do get better there, but certainly hospitals, you know, it's stressful. So there was a lot of pain. But one hospital in particular, there were two women, and they both were coloring at this hospital, and one had gray and one had gold. And they started to talk, and they said, this is where my, you know, the gold, this is where my daughter was born. And the other woman said, this is where my daughter died. And they just started to hug and cry and have this incredible moment. And it was incredibly profound. So, yes, many places and most people would map sort of both. And they figured out different symbols or ways to speak to that. Like one woman was like, here's where I hit rock bottom and I decided I had to quit drinking. And coloring a bottle, like a gray bottle in. But then she said, you know, but the rock bottom is where I had to be, and that was a turning point. So she started to put this gold color around the bottle that, you know, for her was symbolizing, like, rock bottom, and she broke free at that point, she felt. So we saw many unusual ways of mapping that would combine, absolutely. Or somebody would find a place completely painful and somebody else would say, hey, I live just down the street from that. What's that? What's going on? So it was, it generated so many conversations and stories and sharing and I think a lot of empathy and actually respect for our fellow residents that we're all doing as well as we're doing when when you hear about the stresses that so many people are enduring.
Was there a place that showed up either mostly happy or mostly painful?
Yes. The parks, the riverfront in Minneapolis, the lakes, you know, walking around the lakes, walking along the river, those went gold, like, right away. And it was, there isn't much pain put along there. So that's very beautiful. There's something that surprised me was, like, 394, there's sort of a nasty stretch of highway, evidently. That got, that highway got covered in deep, deep black gray because of bad traffic. And you know, normally I was thinking of like a place, like a specific place. I'm like, well, that's interesting. People have mapped a route, you know, that's painful for them. And I have to say the impound lot was a gigantic circle of dark gray where people have to pay hundreds of dollars to get their cars back after a snow emergency. So that was definitely. And, of course, the university had a very strong mixture of pain and joy, places like that. So it was our students, they came back and they put some gold over top of the university. So I thank them for that.
I'm wondering if a city planner could look at this information and say, okay, this isn't the be-all and end-all. This isn't the only criteria I'm mm-hmm. going to use. But by mm-hmm. the same token, mm-hmm. here's a stretch of highway that mm-hmm. whether it's because of accidents that happen here or traffic jams that happen mm-hmm. here, and here are these areas that really seem to make people happy and contribute to their quality of life, and I'm going to kind of incorporate this in the whole thing. Do you think that would be a valid mm-hmm. thing to incorporate?
Yes. I've actually... like the city of Minneapolis embeds artists and different types of planning and programs. And I know they've showed images of this. Colleagues of mine have showed told me they've showed these, and you know, I was invited to apply for one of those positions. So I think there is a lot of crossover potential, and it's just a really it's a powerful way to just start thinking about our relationship to place, you know. And I think it also underscores the power of public space and creating joy in people's lives. So, yes, it isn't maybe scientific in that empirical sense, but it had some surprises. It does have some revealing kinds of places, but it also just serves, I think, as a great, it's an artwork and an engagement, but a kind of a tool sometimes where gives people a voice, because no one can tell you how you feel, right? But when they start to add up, when there's a place that's so dangerous or so beautiful, must be preserved because it's so beautiful, or so dangerous, you know, maybe it's something that, you know, merits a larger discussion.
Well, it's the same thing, I suppose, that people do in other ways by, you know, coming to a local commission and saying, we need a stoplight at this corner because there have been accidents, or we want to protect our park. And yet this is such a visual and visceral representation of those feelings, and you can set it in front of somebody and they can see the colors and they can see the contributions of many people right there at once. Tell me, before I let you go, now you pique my curiosity, I have to ask another question. What surprised you the most? You said that there were some surprises with this. What did you find most surprising and why?
Well, I think the intense joy along the rivers and lakes I mentioned, but you know, the first thing that was colored in gold was Lakewood Cemetery, and that actually surprised me. And then, I mean, the whole cemetery, not just like one grave or one part of it, the whole cemetery was colored in gold. And then there were a few like other layers where people had made certain gold, maybe it was the same person, I don't know. I remember watching that to a certain extent, where there was more intense parts of gold on Lakewood Cemetery. And I thought, I would not have expected that. It is beautiful landscape, but, you know, if you've been to a service there, you know, it can be very sad to say goodbye to loved ones. But that was, I think, the first or one of the very first places colored in pure joy.
Wow. Amazing. Rebecca, thank you so very much for joining us this morning. What a fascinating conversation. It was great to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Rebecca Krinke is a professor of landscape architecture at the University of Minnesota Twin Cities. Green Visions on KUMD is made possible in part by the family-owned Duluth Grill, offering organic, homemade, and fair trade menu items, and Heritage Window and Door, the Twin Ports supplier for Renewal by Anderson Windows and Doors.